Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to Brave New World programme, John Harrison. Today I'm talking to Richard Knight, a British client advisor at Key Investments in Moscow, about the recent so-called correction on the stock markets and asking, basically, is it over or not? Welcome to the programme, Richard.
Good to see you, John.
Well, we've had an interesting couple of weeks, haven't we? It started off with a bang, as I gather it's one of the fastest drops and stock market drops ever in history. Now, can you just, in a few words, please, tell us how serious this correction we went through actually was?
Okay, well, the first thing is, it is a correction.
You're putting it in the present tense.
Absolutely.
Rather than the past tense.
Yeah, it is a correction. Yeah. You're quite right, the fastest ever. Partly to blame with that would be the old algorithms kicking in, acting way faster than humans can.
Yeah.
It's been long overdue. Everybody's been expecting it. We've had something like, the biggest correction we've had was something like 1% over the last 2 years, which is, of course, nothing. Mm-hmm. And every market that remains, to remain a healthy market, has to have a correction. Mm-hmm. Corrections normally is when corporates take profits. So they need to take profits every so often. As long as the correction isn't too steep, then it is just a correction. I have some figures, actually, if you want, because the...
You go ahead.
Yeah. The it was quite interesting. We had the fastest correction. I'll concentrate on the day on the S&P, because unfortunately, we do kind of dance to their rhythm. Mm-hmm. But the Dow actually dropped 13% in 1 week, 13%, and the S&P 12%. Wow. And normally a correction is 10%, some say 12. We're pretty close. Yeah. It's a correction. The reason why it's a correction is because the other assets, the conventional safe havens, commodities, didn't budge. In other words, traders were sitting in cash. Yeah. And then they'll come back and buy it.
Yeah.
10% cheaper.
Now, when this happened, I was reading in semi-panic, because I have a very small amount of money invested in stocks and shares. And I was reading, you know, all the sort of honcho-poncho financial analysts all over the world, particularly in America and in Britain, saying that this was all happening because of the likelihood of interest rates going up in the States. And that was because of the boom in the American economy and prices going up and everything and wages going up. And it all sounds very believable, but is that the full story?
No. I'm not a big believer in fundamentals driving market price at all.
What do you mean by that? Sorry.
Well, a lot of people... Okay, let's take yesterday. Classic example. Yeah. Yesterday. So we had the correction last week. They've already started buying back. In fact, we've almost bought 50% of the correction back already.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday, an hour before the US Open, CPI data, inflation, and retail sales figures came out and disappointed. 1 hour before the US Open, the European session tanked. The US futures went down 250 points. And as soon as the US market actually opened, we finished 250 points up. So it's totally irrelevant. What they're looking at is numbers. The algorithms don't know anything about, you know, CPI or anything of that data. They're just looking at numbers. Mm. Price. Price is always key. One of the things that I find quite interesting is nobody's actually asked, why have we been on this bull run? We've been on a bull run since 2015, okay? 2015, or the end of 2015, should I say, 2016. And they'll put it down to this, that, and the other. And it's nothing to do with this, that, or the other. It's all to do with numbers. And the main one, actually, is currencies. We've had 2 years of a strong dollar. If you remember, it was bouncing around. It flirted with parity on mm-hmm. several occasions. But it never got above something like 110, 116. That was its maximum. And it did that for 2 years. Now, that's stability. Mm-hmm. So that basically meant the US companies, as and when they're doing their deals, they had stability in the currency. So now they're reporting great figures, okay, because they've had a stable currency. Mm. But that's going to change because that stability has now been released, shall we say. And the dollar weakness is going to actually be a story of 2018, a considerable weakness as well. So it's changing. It's changing dramatically.
So you're basing your understanding of what's going on basically from the figures, from the actual
statistical
market,
data,
from the movements of the market, rather than the doom prophesizers or the soothsayers or the great wise gurus who live in Hong Kong or wherever they live and predict what's going to happen. That you base your predictions on what's happening now, figure wise, and the track record of what's happened past, and you extrapolate forwards. In that case, Richard, can you tell us what's happening and what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks, couple of months, couple of years?
Okay. Gloves off now. This correction that we've had, long overdue, and is a typical sign of an end of cycle. We're in a cycle. We're in a 10-year cycle.
Well, that's a fundamental.
But actually, you can break that 10-year cycle down into five waves.
Yeah.
We're on the fifth wave. After the fifth wave comes an ABC, what's called an ABC correction. We all go back to school. An ABC correction, obviously, at the moment, we're in this is a bull 10-year wave. Yeah. And we're heading for quite a substantial fall, basically.
What's a substantial fall?
A 30-40% fall. By the time you get to wave C.
A 30-40% fall on the international stock market means complete ruin.
I can give you
hundreds of thousands, not millions, of investors. Their wealth would be decimated.
Yep. Actually, they won't, because now you can make money on the way down as well as on the way up.
Yeah, you can hedge,
of course. It is different. It's not like 2008. In fact, I just mentioned ABC. Okay, 2008 was the C leg of the previous market. 2008, and that was a 30% fall. This problem that we've got here is that I don't think this bull run is quite finished yet. I think it's going to peak in May. So, I mean, they're already buying it back in droves. I think we'll finish February flat. So, in other words, they bought the entire correction back.
Mm.
Yeah. Because algorithms work just as quickly on the way up as they do on the way down.
Right. And that's, unfortunately, the way stock markets work now. It's a domino effect. Machines automatically pick up when a certain amount of a certain kind of stocks have been sold. And instantaneously, that spreads around not just the city of where it is, but spreads around the globe. So stock dealers in Shanghai, in Hong Kong, in Taipei, in Frankfurt, in wherever, instantaneously get the same message, and it happens, which has never happened before. And it's just the reason that the fall was so great when it started.
On Monday, the Hong Kong Hang Seng was suspended.
It was suspended, yeah.
It wasn't even open.
Yeah.
That's my point. It wasn't even open. There was nobody there pushing. There was nobody there, you know, there's no open cry anymore. It's all click, 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 click. There was nobody there. And it was suspended because it fell through whatever their barrier is.
Yeah, China syndrome.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a short break here. Thank you.
Okay.
Brave New World.
Welcome back to Brave New World. Today I'm talking to Richard Knight, a British client advisor, Key Investments in Moscow, about the recent so-called correction on the stock markets and asking, is it over or not? Well, you've already answered that. It's not over. And we're looking with great trepidation at what's going to happen later on in this year. You're predicting somewhere a peak in the market in May and possibly a real catastrophic correction, kind of late summer, beginning of the autumn, that sort of period of time. Okay, now, I'd like to ask you some other sort of more slightly more abstract questions, perhaps that, you know, listeners might like to ask if they had the opportunity. What would you advise investors to do now? Would you advise them to perhaps put some of their money into commodities? I noticed that the price of gold and silver and platinum and so on hasn't actually fallen as people are buying back into the stock market the last few days, which surprised me greatly because, usually when the stock market starts rising, people pull out of commodities and pull it all into stocks and shares. Mm-hmm. It hasn't happened, has it?
No. Actually, you've known me quite a while. I'm very much a gold bull.
Right.
And what's interesting about gold is it's coiling. Okay. In other words, I think we've tested 1366 recently.
Yeah.
And yesterday we had a good jump on gold, about $25 on gold, back up to 1350s. We break 1366, then my long-term forecast on gold is 1579. And when I say long-term, I think we'll be at 1579 probably by the end of the year.
Mm.
Seriously, what's interesting is gold is on wave five, just starting. Yep. All the equity markets are just coming to the end of wave five. Gold is just starting. That's really interesting. So, I mean, I can genuinely see people out there go, I don't think so. But I can see gold going above $2,000, maybe $2,200 an ounce, and it will get there very quickly. It may be 3 or 4 years away, but it will get there.
Mm.
And that is definitely an asset. You should have something in gold anyhow. Not too sure about gold mines, but certainly physical gold.
Yeah.
Other assets. One of the things I mentioned before about currencies you can actually make a lot of money on just by, well, for argument's sake, the euro dollar has broken the old range, and we're now heading, we're currently priced at about 124. We're definitely heading to 131. I think we will reach 140. Now, that's a really interesting figure, because if we reach 140 and we break 140, we could be going really high. And I mean really high, like 180, maybe even 208, and then it may cool off a bit. But that's very, very, I mean, I'm probably talking a couple of years. But at the end of the day, if you've got a bit of time, currencies is probably where you'll make most money, especially in the if the equity markets do take a turn for the worse.
Yeah.
You've got low volatility, you've got uncorrelated funds that you can use. So that you've got lots of options out there. You've got ETFs, you've got thousands of ETFs now that you can use, which actually, a little bit of money in a short ETF at an all-time market high is actually not a bad idea. Because if the markets do tank, basically, come, say, next August or September, somewhere around there, you could be sat in there for quite some time, and it will make you a lot of money on the way down. Okay. So you can go both ways.
So you have to buy an ETF that's hedging on a fall rather than growth.
Yeah. Short ETF, yeah, or an inverse. They're called inverse ETFs. Lots of them out there. They weren't around in 2008.
Well, isn't this the problem, though, that, I mean, people are now able to make money whatever happens.
Exactly, if you know how to.
I mean, isn't this the problem, though? Because, you know, it stops people investing at the right time, so to speak, and pulling their money out.
I'm a big fan in, I mean, obviously, I look after my clients. My job is to make as much money as the market will allow, okay? Now, if the market has topped, or should I say when it tops, then I am going to look at using inverse, okay?
Yeah.
Because, okay, gold is great. I don't have any issue with that. Okay, you can play with the currencies a bit, and sometimes they go flat. They take a bit of time. So you need an array of, an arsenal of assets that you can go into. And you can do it both ways, you know, as and when we get. I actually think that if you want to know where I think the bottom is, which is actually really interesting, because we've already been there. Surprisingly enough, but I think the Dow, as and when, basically, as the market pushes up, the first thing it has to do is to take out the record high. That's the first thing. Assuming it takes out the record high, we're then on trend continuation. That trend on the S&P, which is a nice, easy one to remember, could finish at 3,000. So yeah, if in May we are near 3,000, and on the Dow we're kind of like 29,000 possibly. You really ought to be kind of coming out of that right now.
Okay, in a few words, we've got to finish the program now, but in a few words, do I get you right? What you're saying is that basically be very careful now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, don't, by all means invest. I mean, now on a correction, it's great because you get this swing back up.
Yeah.
But I would seriously, if we are, keep your eyes on the main exchanges. The America's ones are the important ones. You saw what happened on Monday. It was the US that started it, and it rattled the way through Europe and everywhere else. Keep your eye on that. If you see 3,000 in May, you really ought to take your profit.
Okay, right. Okay, that's very very well put.
Very straight. 3,000 in May.
Fair enough.
Come out.
And what about the Asian markets? I mean, you know, can you now invest in the UN? Can you, you're talking about currency. You're always talking about the main Western currencies. What about some of the new currencies that are coming up? Are they investable in?
Problem with the emerging markets and what have you is they're a considerably smaller market.
Well, Chinese market isn't small, surely.
Well, no. But the as far as compared to the US, it is.
Okay.
Yeah. The problem is that with smaller markets, it takes less money to move it. Does that make sense? So hence it's an emerging market and it's a bigger risk because somebody decides to sell 10% or whatever, and that could be a market mover. And that's the problem with the emerging markets. So they're more volatile. The other thing is that's noticeable is all of the equity markets are on wave five, all of them. Yeah. So, and this is what I'm saying. I think what's going to happen is we're going to peak in May. We'll go sideways over the summer, and then it's all going to the perfect storm is forming because
the perfect storm is
forming. Perfect storm.
And wave five is the last wave. Is
yes.
that correct?
Then you get the ABC correction, and you
then
aren't going to go any higher.
So wave five, and that's it. You're out.
And C will finish. I think it'll put the Dow down to 18,000, and it'll put the S&P to 2,100.
Your listeners, you know what's going on now. You lucky people, you have real inside information.
Be careful.
Be careful, okay? So thank you very much indeed for sharing some of your knowledge with us, Richard Knight, British Client Advisor, Key Investments in Moscow. Thank you very much indeed, listeners, for being with us today. Goodbye.